Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Okay, like this morning before I start and as I'm starting, I always like to start with something funny and interesting. So I just want to share with you a couple of stories again. Young Johnny bought a donkey from a farmer for R1,000. The farmer agreed to deliver the donkey the next day. The next day they met and the farmer said, sorry son, I have some bad news for you. The donkey died. Sounds like a joke, donkey died. Amen. Better, the sound? Thank you, Lord. Must I start again with young Johnny? Young Johnny. Johnny is here. Jesus as well. Johnny and Jesus. Let's start again. Young Johnny bought a donkey from a farmer for R1,000. The farmer agreed to deliver the donkey to young Johnny. The next day they met up and the farmer said, son, got some bad news. The donkey died. Johnny replied, give back my money, please. The farmer said, I can't do that. I've already spent the money. Johnny then said, okay, then bring me my dead donkey. The farmer asked, what are you going to do with it? Johnny said, well, I'm going to raffle it. You can't raffle a dead donkey, the farmer said. Johnny said, sure, you can. Watch me. I won't tell anybody he's dead. A month later, the farmer met up with Johnny and asked him, Johnny, what happened to your dead donkey? Johnny replied, well, I told you, I will raffle him off. So I sold 500 tickets at 20 rand each and made a profit of 8,980 rand. The farmer said, what? Didn't anybody complain? Johnny said, yes. But not really, only the guy who won. So I gave him back his 20 rand. So we need some shrewd and wise businessmen, eh? Johnny made a profit with a dead donkey. Have you ever waked up, kissed the person sleeping next to you, and felt glad that you are alive today? Well, I just did that, and apparently I will not be allowed on this airplane again. that mustn't happen to me, please. They will ban me. This is for Luina. A little three-year-old boy named Reese came from church one day, and for his parents he wanted to say the prayer he learned in church, and he said to them, Daddy, Mommy, just listen to me. He said, he prayed, Our Father, who does art in heaven, Harold is his name. Amen. Sorry, I forgot. Mommy, Daddy, I forgot the rest. But our God does art in heaven, and his name is Harold. I quite enjoy that one, eh? So, where's Harold this morning? The last one. A lady invited some friends for dinner, and at the table, she turned to a six-year-old daughter and asked her if she would like to pray for the food. The little girl said, Mommy, I don't know what to say. The mother replied, Just say what you hear Mommy say all the time. The daughter bowed her head and said, Lord, why on earth did I invite these people for dinner? So this morning, be careful what you say at home. Your kids hear us and they follow us, eh? So we thank the Lord for Harold and for this little girl. This morning, I want you to please open your Bibles to me to three portions of Scripture. Joel chapter 2, John chapter 16, and Acts chapter 2. If you've got a Bible out, please bring it to church. It's still the real Bible, eh? All these apps and stuff. I like them, but nothing feels like paper in your hand when you come to church. Before we start this morning, I just want to say that I want to talk to us about the Holy Spirit this morning. I don't know if many of you are aware of it, but last week in church history, we actually celebrated the week of Pentecost. And that's not the only reason I want to share about this, but I really sense in my heart an urgency to talk about the Holy Spirit to us as a church. And so let's just read the scriptures as introduction. And I just trust that the Lord will really do something special in our hearts and in us as a church family. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on your male and female servants, in those days, I will pour out my spirit. What a promise. Do you receive that word for yourself this morning? John chapter 6, in Jesus speaking, he says, "But now I'm going to him, my Father who sent me. And none of you ask me, where am I going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Powerful portion of Scripture, Jesus speaking. Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now from these portions of Scriptures, I want to talk to us today. And more than that, just deposit something in you which I've been carrying and longing for and crying out to God. But in these passages, you first of all see in Joel the prophecy about the coming Holy Spirit. Then in John chapter 16, you actually see the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus, listen here, when I go away, I'm going to give you something amazing. And then in Acts chapter 2, we actually see the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel chapter 2. Now, these scriptures has become very special to me and to maybe some of us here as well, because it brings, guys, such clarity on the transition that the God brought in our relationship with Him after the cross. Amen? It reveals to us God's heart for His church and His desire for us to walk in intimacy with Him again. And this morning's whole message is about this. It's calling us back to our first love. It's calling us back to a place of walking in intimacy with God and the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus told His disciples in John 16, "Boys, I must go because my time is up. I have fulfilled all my work. It is finished. I must go away. But don't worry. Don't be sad. Something better is coming to you." When Jesus is saying the words, "It is to your advantage," some other guys run out and says, "It is for your best that I leave." Jesus, are you crazy? You're the Messiah, you're the God. We just want to be with you. We just want to touch your hold onto your clothing because where you are is heaven. Jesus said, No, wait. The one who's coming is going to bring heaven. The one who's coming is full of truth. He's going to bring the kingdom of God in your lives. It is to your advantage. And guys, when I read things like this in red letters, I think we must pause as a church and say, "God, what are you saying? Let me read it again. What do you mean? What is the implications of my life that it is to your advantage that I go away so that I will send the Spirit of God to you?" So this morning, I want to pause you and say, guys, it is to your advantage that the Holy Spirit is with you. What does that mean? And as a church, we believe in the Trinity. We believe we serve one God, which expresses Himself in three persons. We all know it: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when you, when you look at the Son, not this Jesus, when you look at the physical Son, you see three things. You see the physical ball sitting in space. You see the light that shines from the Son. And thirdly, we experience the heat that comes from the Son. And that's the same way the Trinity works. The Son, the Father is like the physical ball that's shining there. Jesus is the light that comes from the Son. And the Holy Spirit is actually the one who brings the heat of the kingdom of God into our lives. Our God is one, but He expresses Himself. He functions in three different ways, yet they live in perfect unity. Isn't that beautiful? The Son shines, it's got heat, and it's a physical ball. It's so beautiful. But I've come to realize something, that even though most churches today confess to believe in the Trinity, we don't practice it. And as a result of that, we have formed our own Holy Trinity. We call it the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. Now don't misunderstand me. I love God's Word. I read it every day. I meditate upon it. It is the essence of our walk. But subtly, and over time, we have pushed aside the Spirit of God to not belong anymore in the Trinity of God. We've silenced him. We haven't spoken about him. We haven't made room for him in our churches and or even in our personal lives, in our marriages. And God wants back, people. The Spirit of God wants back. I once heard this quote that says, much of today's church relies on a book the early church never had than the Spirit they did have. Most of today's churches relies on a book the early church didn't have than the Spirit which they did have. Let's get back to what's the most important. We look at the early church and we see all the things they've done in the book of Acts. And the last few weeks I've been studying the book of Acts and I'm blown away by those guys' hunger and thirst for God and what they've accomplished through the Holy Spirit. They didn't sit around a book every day and read it and meditate upon it. They went out and wherever they went, the kingdom of God came because the Spirit was within them. The only thing they had was the Old Testament, people. That's the only thing they had. We have got the privilege of having the whole revelation of God in the Word of God. Amen? But what do? Let's get back. And all I'm saying today is, it is for too long that the Holy Spirit has been the most ignored person in the Trinity. If we want revival in our lives, if you want revival in your business, if you want revival in South Africa, then it's time that we give the Holy Spirit His rightful place again. We've prayed in Bloomfield and done all this stuff, but what now? The Holy Spirit is asking us, what now? Let's bring the Holy Spirit back to His rightful place. It is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Now, one of the things that you must know this morning as a basic is that the Holy Spirit is a person.
He's a person. But He's also God.
And as I grew up in church, I heard many people always pray and quote things and they say, and they refer to the Holy Spirit as, He's a ghost. Or He's the force is with us.
Or it's goosebumps. Can you see it? God is here. Or it's tongues. The Holy Spirit is tongues. Or the Holy Spirit is prophecy. And something in me all for a long time bugged me. Said, God, but those things didn't sit with me so well. Until I went to Scripture and I found out, but listen here, Jesus never said that the Holy Spirit is goosebumps or a force. He revealed to Him as a loving person, which got His own mind, His own emotions, and His own feelings, people. The Holy Spirit is very real. He doesn't come in here like a cloud and goes out the door like mist. No. He's called the Paracletos, the one who comes alongside us to support and help those who are in need. So develop this picture of Him as coming. There's somebody that stands right next to you. He's like holding your hand. You're not holding His hand. He's holding your hand. Amen?
And He helps you. He comes alongside you. So what I found in Scripture is that He is actually a person. But the sad thing is, many in the church today don't know Him as a person.
Most of us only have a theoretical concept about the Holy Spirit. And we go on with our lives as if He don't exist. We ignore Him, and God is wanting the Holy Spirit not to be ignored anymore. I'm hearing in my heart the whole time, my church has ignored my spirit.
And very few of us actually know Him by experiencing Him as a person on a daily basis.
Husbands and wives, listen to me this morning. It is one thing to know that your husband and wife loves you. I've told you at the altar, I love you. Shush now. Shush. That's a joke. It's one thing to know they love you, but it's something else to experiencing them when they hold you, and when they kiss you, and when they embrace you. And that's what I'm talking about. And if I look at the book of Acts, that is one thing that marked them as a church. They didn't know about the Spirit. They knew the Spirit by experience, amen? By Him touching them, living with them, expressing His power through them. Something was different with them than with us. Amen? And I'm hungry not to only know about Him. I want to feel Him. I want to experience Him. I want to hear His voice in my ears. Amen? I don't know about you. But that's what my heart is pumping for. Now remember in my own life, when this transition from knowing about Him to experiencing Him happened in my own life, it was the most glorious day. It felt like yesterday it happened to me. When the Spirit of God not only was a mystical, distant concept, but he came to be a real, intimate lover with me. And when I read the Scriptures then, it was like, wow! I never saw this in my life! Jesus! What are you talking about?
Amen. It's the Spirit of truth that comes to reveal Jesus. It's awesome. It's awesome. And therefore, it is so important for us to develop an intimate and real relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Because he's not a force, he's a friend. He's not a feeling, he's a lover that wants to be known by his people. Amen? He's a lover, guys. He's a lover that wants to be known. Ask your wife. She wants to be known by you. She wants to feel your love. She wants you to touch her, to kiss her, to care for her. The Holy Spirit is exactly the same. So we are created to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Say with me, I am created to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That is the truth about your life. You are designed by God to know Him. But here's the catch, guys. It is a choice that you and I have to make. It is something that we have to work on. Most men in here will know what I'm talking about. You can't have a busy day at work and come at house and say, Bookie, I'm ready. Where are you? Tonight is going to be the night. Is that the way it works, guys? Ladies? Can I get an amen? Intimacy is something you have to work on. Amen? You don't just jump in bed and say, oh, no, we're intimate. No, no, no. That's just sex. That's just physical act. Intimacy is much more than that. Amen? Something you work on. It's how you speak and care and listen and come around and support. It's something that starts not in the morning, the day before. It's something you have to choose to do. Something you have to work on, guys. And the Holy Spirit is exactly the same. Yes, He lives by us. He lives in us by faith. But to experience more of His presence and glory, you'll have to make a choice to pursue Him with all of your heart. Amen. And I'm hearing the Spirit of God crying out for attention. It sounds weird, but He's crying out for you to engage Him, to sit with Him, to enjoy Him. Amen? The word came this morning, the eggs are cracking. Guys, God wants to break something and open it for us. This beautiful and intimate and full of life. Are we hungry for that? Are we hungry for that? So for the rest of our time with you, I want to quickly just give you practical things to help you how to develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Many of these things are so basic, you're going to say, Yaku, please tell us something else. But it's important. We don't do these things. We miss those things. This morning, the Spirit of God is crying out for us. The first one, so important, is you must be born again. John 14, verse 16, Jesus saying, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you will know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. Guys, when you get born again of the Spirit of God, that is when your relationship with the Holy Spirit starts. That's where it all starts. So this morning, if you're not a Christian yet, that is where you need to start. You need to give your life to Jesus and you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Not only that, but do you know that the Holy Spirit is actually with us before we are born again? He's with you before you're born again to bring you to Jesus. But our relationship with Him only starts when we are born again. That's what verse 17 says. He says, listen here, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive Him because they don't look for Him or they don't know Him. But you, my disciples, you know Him. He is already with you. One of the reasons Jesus was able to live such a supernatural life is because He had a supernatural birth. Amen? We must understand, guys, that Jesus didn't model for us what God can do on earth. No, no, no. He modeled for us what a man submitted to the Holy Spirit can do upon the earth. Do you get that? Now, this is important because that gives me an example to follow. You see, if Jesus came only as God and walked on water only as God and did all these amazing things as God, then I'm only impressed. Say, wow, that's amazing. You're awesome. But if He did it as a man submitted to the Holy Spirit, then it gives me an invitation, an urgency to follow Him. Say, Jesus, I want to do what You did because You said, greater works I will do than what You are doing. It was a man submitted fully to the Holy Spirit. And that's the invitation for me to follow Him in every day, every sphere of life. To say, Jesus, how do You do this business transaction? How do I employ this guy?
How do I fire that guy? How do I love this guy?
He's modeling for us how to live with the Holy Spirit. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus asked him, Jesus, you are an awesome teacher. You are doing all these amazing things, God. People are getting healed and miracles are happening. How do you do it? And then Jesus replied to him, listen here, you must be born again. You must be born of water and you must be born of the Spirit. Otherwise, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus here was, say, hey, Nicodemus, listen to me. The real reason the kingdom of God can come through my life is because I had a supernatural birth. And if you want to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, it starts with off by being born again. That's where it all starts. Guys, you see, salvation is not a ticket to heaven when you die. No, salvation is the entrance into the kingdom of God in order to bring heaven down to earth. When Jesus spoke in John 3 about you must be born again for the kingdom of God, you cannot enter it. That doesn't talk about one day going to heaven. He said, listen here, boys, the kingdom of God is at hand. It means it is here, it's near, it can be entered, it can be experienced now. So salvation is the place we can enter into God's realm to live God's way. Amen? So important. So your new birth as a Christian qualified you to live a supernatural life just like Jesus did. It qualified you. And not only that, it also opened up the door for you to live and have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. The door has been opened. Are we going to walk through it and enter the chambers of love and intimacy with the Holy Spirit? The second one, thinking you have to have in place, clearly you have to, for intimacy with the Holy Spirit, is you must be filled with the Spirit. And John, in Acts 1 verse 4, Jesus had this conversation with his disciples. He says, one day when he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, for John the baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
The context here is Jesus was just raised from the dead. He was going up down to heaven and he's visiting his disciples many, many times. And one of these instances was exactly this, verse 4 and 5. He said, boys, we're having this wonderful meal, but listen here, you must be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to baptize you with the Spirit. In a few days from now. And obviously the Spirit, this refers to Acts chapter 2, which we've just read, which happened. But you must be filled with the Spirit of God if you want to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit.
This is essential. This is the basics, guys.
Please listen to me carefully now. When you get born again, you receive the indwelling Spirit that produces the life of Jesus in you.
But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit that produces the ministry of Jesus in you.
I'm going to say it again. When you are born again of the Spirit, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that produces the life of Jesus in you. You can call it the fruits of the Spirit as well. But when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Spirit, Acts chapter 2, then you receive the anointing of the Spirit of God for the ministry of Jesus through your life. The two is quite different, but yet the same.
The baptism is for the empowerment for service, so the kingdom of God can come through our lives. And one way to illustrate this is to say, for instance, I take this glass and I take a drink of water. What happened at salvation is you receive a drink from the Holy Spirit. But when I go down to the beach and I go and swim at grotto and I step into the ocean, then the ocean comes around me and fills me. And that's the picture of what happens when you get baptized in the Spirit.
Not only is the Spirit inside of you at salvation, but when you step into the sea, it surrounds you, it consumes you, it's all over you. And you are anointed of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that clear?
So in other words, guys, God's will for every believer is to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here in Acts chapter 8, we see a beautiful example of this. In Acts chapter 8, the story goes, it was just when the persecution on the church started. Saul was going crazy, asking for letters to execute all the Christians, putting them into jail. And then Philip goes on this mission as being chased out of Jerusalem. And he went on and did all these amazing things. He came to the city and he got people saved. And listen to what happened in verse 14. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet came upon them, any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. That referring to the water baptism. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a clear picture of what's happening to these new believers who just got saved? And the interesting thing for me about this story, guys, is it took place about plus minus 5 years after Pentecost. And still the same practice was in existence which happened 5 years earlier, which Jesus spoke to them about. So the early church was on something here. They said, listen here, Jesus told us and we are just going to practice what he's saying. Amen? And wherever they went, they baptized people in the water and they baptized people in the Spirit when they accepted God's message. That's what we need to do for our own lives. So if you are a new Christian here today, and you've never experienced this second working of grace in your life, then today is your opportunity to receive this baptism. Hear me, please. Don't walk out here and say, after Jesus, that's enough. Yes, it's enough, but you need a second working of grace in your life to empower you to live the life Jesus has called you to do. Amen? Second of all, very important, but if you are a Christian here today, and you have already experienced this baptism, what now? What about you? Have God forgotten about you? No. Listen to me very carefully. There is only one baptism in the Spirit, but there is many infillings of the Spirit needed in our lives. There's one baptism, there's one anointing, but there's many infillings that each and any one of us needs to have regularly on an everyday basis. Ephesians 5:18 says, Paul is saying, says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Note that, please. Guys, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled. Remember, he's speaking to a church. He's writing to Christians here. And the amazing thing about this, if you look at the Greek, the words here, be filled, means keep on being full continually and constantly. Wow! Keep on being filled continually and constantly. Why would Paul say that? If it was once enough, why would he say this later on? That's where I want to talk to you about. We need a continual infilling of the Spirit because as Christians, we leak the fullness of the Spirit. You leak it. You see, none of us are perfect and all of us still sin from time to time. We carry unforgivenesses, we carry offenses, we drive over the speed limits. We don't pay our tickets, we swear at people. We are not perfect yet. We will be one day. And through all these things in our lives, we leak a little bit of the presence and Holy Spirit in our lives as we continue. That's why Paul admonishes you to be filled. God said, to give you an example, it works like a car with a water leak. What will happen if you take your car, you just drive it, and you never put water in it? What's going to happen? You're going to run your car into ruins. Amen? You're going to burn it out. It's going to be, I'll say, gefries. It's going to be messed up. You need to look at your car and top it up every now and again. And exactly the same with your life. You're not an engine, but you are the temple of the Spirit, and you carry it, but we leak. And God says, listen, please be filled regularly, continually, all the time. Now, how do we do it? Very simply, you just ask Jesus to fill you again. Remember, he is the baptizer in the Spirit. Amen? He is the baptizer in the Spirit. And for example for this is look at Acts 4, verse 29. And there's a story, and it is the end of a story where Peter and John went and prayed for some people, and this lame man got healed, and they rose him up in Jesus' name. They got persecuted, and they're like thrown into jail, and they let them out. And look at what they say afterwards. It says, now Lord, look on these threats, and grant your servants that with all boldness we may speak the word, stretching out your hand to heal, and your signs and wonders may be done through your name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Verse 31, they prayed together. And the place was shaken. And they were filled with the Spirit. And they spoke God's word with boldness. I love this story. I love the ending of the story. It is so amazing to me because, guys, these are the same Christians that experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But now they received, we can call it a top-up. Why? Because God wants us to walk in fullness of the Spirit. These are the same guys that stood on Pentecost and the room was filled and everything, the mighty rushing wind were there. But yet, two chapters later, really a few days later, they had this similar experience once again. So as a Christian, it is our responsibility to remain full of the Holy Spirit by having regular infillings through the Holy Spirit. Guys, if you want to walk in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, then this is your key. Then this is your key. If we're not going to seek Him, pursue Him, love after Him, and not have this regular encounters, we're going to run dry. You're going to go and test it. Many Christians today backslide after that. Powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit. Why? They don't desire Him. They don't long after Him. And then they're offended with God and the church. But we need to sit with Jesus and say, Jesus, just fill me again. If it's together, great. If it's at your own private time, it's also fantastic. Let's pursue the fullness of the Spirit. Amen? The third thing you must develop to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, intimate one, is the following. You must desire His presence. You must desire His presence. Look at what David says in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for You, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 84, he says, how lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. For a day in Your courts is better than a thousand days. I would rather be a doorkeeper in Your house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Friends, this needs to be the heart cry of every believer. A hunger and a desire and a desperation for the presence of God. Amen? This is normal Christianity, this. Anything less than that, we must ask questions. And I want to tell you, this has been my main prayer for the last year or so. Jesus, I'm hungry for You, God. My soul pants for You, God. I'm like a desert that needs the rain desperately, Jesus. A thirst for Jesus. A desire for His presence to be with Him. Isn't that what lovers do? Husbands? Isn't that what you did before you got married? You desired one another's presence. You sat out late in the cars at your houses. You called for hours when the old telecom lines were still free. You called for hours. Why? You had a desire for one another's presence. Amen? What happened now years later with your relationship with God? It's not supposed to happen. And the amazing thing to me about hunger is that it is a sign of life. It's a sign of life. We as parents all know that when our babies doesn't want to eat, we start to stress. Something is wrong. Something is missing because they don't want to eat and we want and they're crying and being difficult. If a baby doesn't eat, something is wrong. And the same is true for us as believers. If we don't have a hunger for the presence of God, then maybe we need to ask ourselves, what is going on? Maybe we are sick spiritually. Maybe your appetite has been satisfied with other things. But ask the question, what is going on? Don't just leave it. Our hunger for the presence of God is extremely important if you want to develop an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Not only that, but the Bible also shows us that the Holy Spirit Himself desires intimacy with you. Do you know that? That's the God we serve. He's so awesome. Not only is it important that we hunger for Him, but you know what? He hungers for us as well. James 4 verse 5, look at this. Or do you suppose that the Spirit says He's speaking to no purpose that says the Spirit whom He has caused to dwell in us yearns over us and yearns with a jealous love. Wow. Wow. The Holy Spirit is jealous for your attention and your affection, church. He's jealous for your attention. He yearns over you with a jealous love. And the reason for that is because He is a lover. The Holy Spirit is a lover. These are strong language that Paul uses here, James uses here. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen a guy at a party which is in love with a girl, but the girl keeps on ignoring him and giving her time and attention to all the other boys. What does it do to us, man? It drives us crazy, amen? You want to climb a wall because you want her attention, but she's in a way ignoring you and giving her attention to all the other people. It's making us jealous for that girl of ours. And the same way the Holy Spirit feels when we neglect Him and when we give our attention and affections to other things. He yearns with jealousy over our affections, people. And unfortunately, many Christians have treated the Holy Spirit the same way because we are just so busy with other things. We always have 1,000 more other things important to take care of before we know it, we neglect the most important person in our life. We are just too busy. Husbands and wives, let me ask you something. How long are your marriage going to last if you neglect your intimacy by always having other things that must be taken care of? Is it going to last? It's not. Why do we put the Holy Spirit in that same equation? He's yearning for your attention. He's seeking your presence. We need to realize as the Church of Jesus Christ that we live in a world. And our enemy, your enemy, will do anything to keep you busy with stuff which is not so important. Amen? Stoffel preached a great message last week about the spiritual warfare and the enemy's tactics. I'm just jumping on that. But he will do anything to keep you busy. Do you know what? He wants your desires. He wants your dreams. He wants your time. He wants to make you busy to keep you away from the presence of God. Because you know the presence of God is the power of God in your life that will destroy him on the earth. So get back to him. Get back to him, please. Don't give him your desires or your time. Fight for that. Remaining hungry for the Holy Spirit is vital for our health because he's the only thing that can quench our thirst for other things. Do you know that? He's the only thing that will quench the longings in your soul for all the other addictions you may be carrying or stuff you want. David wrote in Psalm 107, he says, "For only he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." It is only God that can satisfy our longing souls. It's only the living waters of the Spirit that can quench our thirsts. Amen? So why neglect Him? Why put Him aside? He must be number one in our lives. Amen? But once again, here's the catch. We must be hungry for Him. And we must practice His presence. What does that mean? We come to Him and we just say, Holy Spirit, here I am. No agenda. No reading plans, just me and you. And you sit, and you be, and you listen, and you worship, and you close your eyes, and you imagine where He is. You ask Him, where are you, Holy Spirit? You know what? He will come. He will come. Because He's the one that reveals Jesus unto us, amen? He's the one that leads us into all truth, amen? And before we know, He's in the room. And He satisfies the longing of your heart. So beautiful. To have intimacy with Him is a choice that you have to make every single day. You and I must draw near to God first. Then He will come. That's what James 4 verse 8 says. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Not God draw near to us first and then we wait for Him and do what He wants to do. No. We take the initiative. Amen? We are the ones that hunger. We are the ones that pursue Him because we are in love with Him. Amen? And He's a faithful God that says, when you come, my son, I'm going to meet you right there. We sang it this morning. He is faithful. He is faithful. So the question is this morning, how hungry are we for the Holy Spirit? How hungry are we for the Holy Spirit? Can we say like David, God, my soul pants for you. I'm hungry, God. Nothing can satisfy me like you, God. I'm desperate, Jesus. I mean, can we say that with an honest heart? And if you can say yes, then I want to ask you, then how will you live differently to pursue His presence? It's one thing to say, talk is cheap, guys, but doing it every day, every week, every month, every year for 50 years, that's a different story. And I know one thing, that the people that changed this planet, the Catherine Kuhlmans, the John G. Lakes, they're the guys that hungered for the presence. They had no agenda but Him. And they changed this known world that we live in. Amen? God has marked you to also change the world. He's anointed you with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives inside of you. Why are we waiting for somebody else to do the work? You are the answer in your business. You are the answer in your family. Amen? But spend time with Him. He wants to crack open the egg shelves. Bring about life. We just have to say yes and say, God, more of You. The last thing which I want to say with you, develop this intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, is that you and I must work with the Holy Spirit. You must work with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Paul gives us a clue here. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, he says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered, but it was God who made the plant grow. But the one who plants and the one who waters really doesn't matter. It is God who matters, because He makes the plant grow. In verse 9, for we are partners working together with God, and you are God's field, you are God's building. To work with the Holy Spirit means, church, we must be led by the Spirit in order to partner with the Holy Spirit. To work with Him, you must be led by Him in order to partner with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is developed by partnering with Him to see the kingdom of God come. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is developed by partnering with Him to see the kingdom of God come. I don't know. Who of you remember those bands we wore as Christians? WWJD? Who of you wore those things? What Would Jesus Do? We all did it. It was a hit. It was amazing to get a conversation going with an unsaved guy. I mean, you remember that? Check my band. What did it say? And then you get the whole thing going. In hindsight, as I'm preparing and praying for this, I thought to myself, listen, they actually had to make this band with a different abbreviation. It should have been called WIJD, which means, what is Jesus doing? Because I think it's not so much what Jesus will do. It's more important that we discern and know what the Holy Spirit is doing right now in the given situation. What is Jesus doing? You see, the Bible says God is doing stuff at all the time. Therefore, it's our job to find out what He's doing in that situation. Amen? Jesus says here in John 5, He says, my Father is always working, and so am I. He's not sitting and having a pina colada and waiting for us to do anything for Him, stir Him up by praise and worship, making Him feel better about Himself. No, 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 no. He's always at work. Heaven is going to be a very busy, no, not busy, it's going to be a very, what's the word, combustive place. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, so the Son also does. So here we see Jesus is also wearing His WIJD band. And what He's saying here is, listen here, I'm looking at my Father through the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at Him and saying, what is He doing? And what I see Him doing, I'm going to do the same. Amen? Because my daddy is always at work. That is so awesome. And it's so often said that we don't know a person really until you have worked with them. And we all have got stories about this, good or bad. Everybody here can talk about a story. I work with this guy, and you know what? He's actually a pauper because A, B, and C. Well, this guy, when I work with him, he showed so much character and finesse and such endurance, and he goes the extra mile. When we work with somebody, it's when we actually find out who they really are. Amen? The proof is in the pudding. And guys, it's no different for the Holy Spirit. It's no different for God. When we work with Him, and we partner with Him, we really develop an intimate relationship with Him. Amen? People, God is not a manager that we need to work for. He is a Father. He's given me and you the privilege of partnering with Him to make the kingdom come. Amen? He's a Father. He's a Father, Daddy, that wants us to see the kingdom come. We are called to be His sons and daughters. And we are called to be co-laborers with Christ. Co-laborers with Jesus. To see the kingdom, to change this world. And that means we don't beg or wait for God to do things for us anymore. No, no. It means that we rather partner with Him because we are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You guys see the difference? The one Christian will sit and wait and say, God, please do this for me and do that for me. And when are you going to preach God? The other one said, Jesus, what are you doing? I'm looking at you. And what I see you do, I'm just going to follow you because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. It's so beautiful. That's the privilege and honor of a son and a daughter of God. It's fantastic. So I just want to ask you, the band, quick, the musos, come up, please, the band. I'm just going to prep the song at the end. But so in conclusion this morning, if you want to have a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will need to be prepared to follow Him and to work with Him wherever He leads. You need to be prepared to follow Him and lead Him wherever He leads. And one of the things that I've learned from the Holy Spirit is that He lives in the realm of the impossible. He doesn't live in the realm of limitations, of I can't, I couldn't, or political correctness. No, the Holy Spirit lives and works in the realm of the impossible. You see, 9 out of 10 times, the Holy Spirit will ask you to do things that are outside of your comfort zone. It's going to feel like you must die 1,000 deaths. It's going to feel you can't do it. But that's exactly where the Spirit of God is going. If you want to be intimate with Him, I told you earlier, you have to be willing and brave enough to follow Him there, to work with Him there. If you want to get to know the Holy Spirit, you will need to allow Him to lead you outside of the normal boundaries which you've set for yourself in your mind's eye. Wherever He leads is truth. Wherever He leads is life. Amen? He lives and works in the realms of the impossible. That's why He called Peter to walk on water. In the boat was the normality for church. But God is calling us in a time where we're going to say, Jesus, lead me wherever. If it's walking on water, on mountains, on clouds, wherever, God, I'm following. Because when you call, you enable. Amen? That means, you know, I need to step out and take a risk in order to partner with the Holy Spirit. And church, the implications on this is massive this morning. If you say yes to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want to work with you, the implications is massive because it means that what I do for God comes out of, it's a byproduct of my intimacy with Him. Me and you don't want to be known as Christians that just do things for God out of duty and principle. No, no, no. I want to be a Christian that lives out of passion and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Because then I'm late. Then I'm a son. Then I'm a daughter. Amen? Duty is fine. Principles is right. It's all good. But God wants intimacy. Amen? You can't take your book and say, my wife, we're going to have sex tonight. The book says, get out your clothes, kiss me now, hold my hand, lay on the bed. Ladies, is that going to work for you? Never. What is going to work? That you love her, that you pursue her, that you embrace her, that you just be yourself. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit is asking of us this morning. He wants intimacy with you. Give Him time. Pursue Him. Work with Him. Amen? I heard this story. I don't know if it's true, but I think it gets the point over. It says, a pastor was driving one day on a highway across the United States. He was so busy working for God, preaching the gospel, building the church, visiting the sick, and doing all the right Christian stuff. As he was driving in his car, the worship music was on, and there was just a lot of noise in his life. And all of a sudden, he heard the audible voice of God speaking to him. An audible voice of God said, turn off the radio. And the pastor's like shocked, almost through the car of the road. And he drove further. And after a while, he heard the voice of God again. Turn off the radio. But he kept on driving and he kept on ignoring the voice. And the third time, the voice told him, turn off the radio. And as the pastor is, by the third time, he's like, oh, shut, God speaks to me, you know, listen. He turns off the radio, and then all of a sudden, he hears the still small voice of God speaking to him. He says, my son, I've missed you. I've missed you. And when I heard that story, it just so touched my heart because it just reminds me again what the Holy Spirit is looking for. You know what He's looking for? He's looking for you. He's looking for intimacy with you. He's longing, do you know what?
He's longing to hear your voice. Longing to hear your praise. He's longing to hear your desires. He's a lover, guys. He wants intimacy.
And I feel the Spirit of God is calling us to draw near to Him again.
He's calling you to draw near to Him again. To open your heart to Him and to allow Him to love upon you. Many of us are so afraid. We've never experienced real love. We've been abused by men. We've been spoken bad about by other people. But that's not the God we serve. Just allow Him this morning to love on you.
God wants to pour out His Spirit here with us. I've missed you, He says. So this morning I want to ask you, who of us here wants more of the Holy Spirit?
I'm going to raise both hands. Whatever I can, Jesus, I want more of you. Church, you know what? To ask for intimacy is the greatest thing you can ask of Him. It's the greatest thing. And in a moment, I want us just to stand and sing a chorus of a song. I want us to just sing it and mean it and express our hunger and our thirst for the Holy Spirit. Just stand with me, please. And this morning, I don't want to have an altar call or anything official because I want to give the Holy Spirit reign again. I want to give Him time again to come and do His work in our hearts. Amen? Because I believe He wants to fall on people this morning. He wants to minister to specific people here this morning.
So let's sing that song and then we will take it further. Just follow the band and just these simple, loving words. Let's just sing it.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
everybody here just to lift their hands. I want you to lift your voice. This is not a time to stand and watch. It's a time to cry out to God. I want you to lift your voice. Speak to Him. You know what? Whenever there is hunger and desperation, the Spirit of God is coming. The Spirit of God is coming with this hunger and desperation. I want you to cry out to Him like you've never cried. Ask Him this morning for more of Him. Ask Him to maybe fill you the first time, the second time, the 100th time, but cry out to Him this morning. Maybe you must pray the prayer I prayed. Come, Holy Spirit, I need You. I'm desperate for You. Like a deer pants for water, God, so I pant for You. I long after You, God. Let's raise our voices as we sing the song again. Let's cry out to Him, Lord. We want more of You, Jesus. Oh, wonderful Holy Spirit, come and have Your way in our lives. Lord, we want to pursue You, have more of You, partner with You, work with You to see the kingdom come. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. He loves You. He loves You. He longs for You. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh,
be overcome by Your.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.